Welcome back to The Conversation, the podcast for and about women in business. I'm Gina Simeon. Today we have the pleasure of speaking to Terry Lyons, an entrepreneur who has created her own empire, Lyons & Associates Family Law Firm. We're going to be talking to her today about the millennial mentality and what you can do for your own company to retain and attract awesome rock stars for your business.
It is not an atypical business problem to not have to deal with the new workforce coming up. So right. The first thing I want to say to my fellow entrepreneurs is shut up. I'm sick and tired of hearing you complain about them. Put on your big girl pants or your big boy pants and figure out not only how to work with them, but to leverage them to the best of their capabilities and your capabilities.
This podcast is sponsored by Single Throw Marketing, a Google Premier partnered full service digital marketing agency. If you want to stay one step ahead of your competitors, check us out at singlethrow.com. Terry Lyons, for lack of a better term, is kind of a big deal in the North Jersey area. She is the founder of Lyons & Associates, which is a law firm dedicated to family law, estate planning, and real estate. She is a best-selling author of the book Sticks and Stones, Life Lessons from a Lawyer, and former state Supreme Court clerk, and a foster and adoptive parent to New Jersey's abused and neglected youth. Hey, welcome, Terry.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm groovy. I hope you're doing groovy as well.
I am groovy. So I was saying that you and I met playing golf, and within 10 minutes, I was like, okay, you got to be on my podcast. So it was a very hot day, wasn't it? Was it a hot day?
It was a hot day. If I do remember, thank God for the beer and the bourbon, because it was that kind of day.
It was that kind of day. And I think we were on like the fourth hole and you're like, guys, I got vodka, I got bourbon, and I'm ready to rock.
We had a speak or two with music. And, you know, if you can't golf well, at least be a powerful presence on the course. And that's what you did that day as well. So,
thanks. Yes, we hit it off right away. So I wanted to get you on the podcast, and a couple conversations that we had while we were golfing were so interesting, and just I wanted to learn more and hear more, and I wanted you to be able to share this story with our listeners. So tell me a little bit about Lyons & Associates. So you are the managing partner and founder of Lyons & Associates?
I am. Lyons & Associates is a full-service law firm. We currently have clients all over the United States. I chair the firm's matrimonial department. I like to say it's an empire in progress. If you think of many of the large firms that so many of us know across this great state that have been around for 50 or 100 years and have a national presence, impact the law far after the founder is gone. And here's where I'm going to be a potty mouth. Not a goddamn one of them has been started by a woman or a person of color. We're changing that, right? And so we're in the process. We're scaling up. We're opening our third office. After that, we're probably going to, you know, go into another state. And while we're scaling up and building this empire, I simultaneously am divesting. And by the time I'm 65, we'll have this law firm that has 50 or more lawyers that can stand on its own, and I will own only 1% of it. So that's kind of Lyons & Associates, where we are, where we're headed, and what we do.
Wow. Very exciting. So when I was telling people who I golfed with, everybody knew who you were. So you've definitely made a large impact, especially in the North Jersey area, as far as who you are in your business. And I know that, you know, like you just said, sometimes you're the only woman in the room. How have you been able to conquer that and really make your name known?
So I think, first of all, it's important that if you have the opportunity to be the only woman in the room, still do it. You know, I've had fellow colleagues of mine say, oh, you know, I don't want to join that group, or I don't want to do that. There's not enough women there. And what I say is, how are we going to have more women there if you don't go? So first and foremost, if you have the opportunity to be the only person in the room, it still doesn't matter. Get in the room. That's the first thing I'll tell you. You can't conquer the room unless you're in it.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, I would encourage women, men, anyone, try to find mentors, even people that don't look like you. A lot of times we have this tendency as humans to try to seek out people that look like us, think like us, feel like us. And if you open yourself up to mentors and friends of different kinds, you know, you'd be surprised how many very powerful men have mentored me and given me some of the best advice, business advice and personal advice in my life. And so I would encourage, you know, make friends with people that are different from you. Look to people who are successful and don't, if they're successful, don't not speak with them because they don't look like you. They don't think like you. They don't act like you. They're not in the same political party. Get yourself out there, be uncomfortable, surround yourself with successful people and you'll be successful yourself.
That's great advice. Yeah. Just kind of get out there.
Yeah.
So why did you start, you know, why did you go into law? Did you go to law school? I know you have a master's degree. Tell me about your journey as to how you started Lyons & Associates.
I did not go to graduate school intending to be a lawyer. I actually went to graduate school intending to be a social worker. I went and got a master's degree in social work from Rutgers University. Shout out to all my social work and mental health professional buddies out there. We need more of us.
Yeah.
Definitely do. And while I was there, there was a class that every social worker had to take called Law and Social Work. And it taught social workers how to talk to those mean lawyers. What do you do when they subpoena your records, blah, 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 all those things about how lawyers are evil and how to deal with them. The class that they offered was called Law and Social Work, and it taught social workers how to testify in court, what to do with those mean lawyers when they subpoena your records. Lawyers are big, bad, and evil, but how to get along and play with them within the justice system. The professor who taught it intrigued me. They had just authored a brand new dual degree program with Rutgers Camden. It was the first of its kind in the state of New Jersey where you could also go to law school while you got a master's degree in social work. I said, hey, why not? 4 months later, I found myself in law school, and I was one of the first two people in the state of New Jersey to graduate with both a master's degree and a law degree at the same time in the dual degree program. 20-something years ago. So I always was a trailblazer. After that, I clerked for the New Jersey Supreme Court, highest court in New Jersey, had the privilege of clerking for the justice who now writes the rules of court. And I think this goes back to keeping yourself open. So most people who know me realize that I'm a big wacky leftist liberal. I am as wacky and as leftist liberal as you will ever meet. The Supreme Court justice that I clerked for, conservative Republican, who at the time I was clerking for him was being accused of racial profiling when he was the attorney general.
Oh, my God.
Appointed, you know, chairs, all of the big Republican committees. And one would think, you know, why that match worked. And to the justice's credit, he said, you know, he had this policy that he had three clerks in chambers and he always wanted one that was politically an opposite to him to stimulate conversation. And so I'm grateful for that tutelage early in my career that you can be best friends with, you can respect people's opinions, even if they're way different than yours, and learn. And I learned a lot from him and I still continue to do so today. After that, I worked for a giant firm. Met a lot of really smart lawyers, some of the best lawyers on the planet. The firm had 800 attorneys at the time. Then went out on my own. Went out on my own with the support of lots of people. So I've been an entrepreneur ever since. I went out in 2004. And have been kicking ass and taking names ever since. So
I love it. I love it. You really have. And then on top of it, you are a foster and adoptive parent as well. Tell me a little about that.
Yeah. My wife and I are foster and adoptive parents through New Jersey. We've had a number of kids in our home. Some have stayed and we've adopted them. Some have been reunified with their biological families and they teach me every day what's important and what's not. And also taught me to be brave. So
that's amazing. I know that's not an easy thing to do. So that's really awesome that you guys do that. So shifting gears a little bit back to your Lyons & Associates. So when we were golfing, you were talking about, for lack of a better phrase, the millennial mentality. So, you know, especially after COVID and everything, you know, the whole work life has really kind of shifted. A lot of people are working from home. A lot of the younger people, as they're graduating, they're kind of, you know, adapting this new way of a workforce that, you know, people that have been in it for 20, 30 years aren't used to. Tell me a little bit about how that has come up and how you guys have, you know, managed to deal with that.
First and foremost, let me say there are many wonderful things about millennials. They are far kinder than the generation before. They're far more technologically savvy. They are technology natives. us are technology immigrants. And I think that actually speaks to why your industry is so important, Gina, you know, with digital marketing. I think that anyone who wants to be connected to the millennials in the next market really should be engaged with people like you and others. The average person under 30 spends 29% of his or her waking life on their cell phones. Any business that does not invest 29% of its energies, resources in that sphere is at a disconnect with its clients. So shout out to your industry and what you can do to get clients where they are. With that being said, this notion of how to deal with the millennials, first and foremost, I am not the only generation that has looked at the youngins behind me and said, what the heck am I going to do with them? You think about the hippie generation in the 60s. If you know, you think about around the time of the Civil War, the young people that were coming up and were, you know, anti-slavery and the old guard. It is not an atypical business problem to not have to deal with the new workforce coming up. So right. The first thing I want to say to my fellow entrepreneurs is shut up. I'm sick and tired of hearing you complain about them. Stop bitching. Put on your big girl pants or your big boy pants and figure out not only how to work with them, but to leverage them to the best of their capabilities and your capabilities. So let me give some concrete examples that I think are very helpful. Our firm went to unlimited paid time off before COVID. And the philosophy was that your average millennial really values independence, really values work-life balance. And so, you know, 4 years before COVID, our firm went to a policy where we had unlimited paid time off and all the lawyers could work remote, come in and out as they pleased. And you might think, well, that's suicide. What we realized at the time, however, is we had to really boil down our business to what was the secret sauce, what made it most profitable, and what made it most likely to succeed. And the reality is when you have a service-based business, much like you run a service-based business, Gina, the reality is it's a matter of how many jobs you do or how many hours you bill, how much you collect, and how happy your clients are, right? Most service businesses, it's how many clients do you have, how many hours have you billed and collected, and how happy are the clients? And when we were able to realize that that was not necessarily tied to shackling someone to a desk, we limited ourselves for flexibility. And so what happened is when we first started that policy, it's interesting. When you start a policy like that, you're instantly going to get people that are riffraff. Oh, unlimited paid time off. And you're going to get people that abuse that. You also, however, are going to get self-starters who are self-disciplined and really mature and able to balance multiple facets of their life. And so what you do is you put this policy that is intended to attract the best and the worst of that generation. When you see the worst, you ferret them out immediately, you fire them, you move them on. And when you see the best, you continue to reward them and cultivate them. And I will tell you that, you know, our company, we have a very high client satisfaction rate. We were chosen by NJ Biz as the number two best places to work in the entire state of New Jersey.
Wow.
As a result of that, we have really smart lawyers that every week are sending us resumes. I just got another resume this morning. I want to come work with you guys because now we're actually getting the pick of the litter because we were bold to really boil down the essence of what our company needs to then unshackle that from traditional notions and instead pair it with constructs that match the best of the millennial mindset.
Yeah.
And so you can, you know, and we're probably going to have to do it again in another 10 years with the generation coming up behind us.
Right.
So that's one example. Another example, if I may, is people complain, oh, millennials always need to be, rewarded. They always need to be told they're doing a good job. You know, that everybody gets a trophy generation.
Oh, my God, I know.
I hear that all the time. Everybody gets a trophy. So here's what I came to realize. If you go to the average millennial and you say to him or her, not everybody gets a trophy, suck it up, buttercup. All you're going to do is have disenfranchised employees. However, if you find ways to get your millennials their trophies that also then support your business and your industry, it's a win-win. So I'm going to give you an example. Rather than going to a baby lawyer and saying, not everybody gets a trophy, instead, what we say is, let's try to get you a trophy. And we have them, the firm pays for, we do something called newsjacking. So we'll pick a story that everybody is talking about already in the news. And then we'll have one of our younger lawyers in particular write an article about that. So for example, when Jeffrey Epstein died in prison, we had a lawyer instantly write an article, what happens to his estate. When over the past summer, everyone may remember the Gabby Petito story when she disappeared. We had a lawyer write an article about the domestic violence and the cycle of domestic violence within that relationship. And because the whole world was already talking about it, it made it easier for us. We hired a press agent and we dumped it into the AP wire and the articles get picked up. And so for a cost of like $800 or $1,000, we have an article that's now picked up by, 100,000 people see it. It's an NJ.com and Yahoo. And now what you do is you now have a young lawyer who instantly is published, instantly gets credibility and builds web traffic. And you know how important that is in your industry.
Of course, yeah.
Instantly has something that they can put in their portfolio so that when clients show up, they don't say, oh, I don't want this younger lawyer. Well, look, they're already published.
Right.
And by the way, when that young lawyer then posts it on his or her own page, all the other baby lawyers that they know at all the other firms are like, oh, I wish my job supported me that much. So now we've driven traffic, built credibility, created buzz in the marketplace, all of those things for less than $1,000. It's a win-win.
Yeah.
Instead of not everybody gets a trophy, how do we award these trophies along the way that also help the company? So I rather than railing against what millennials aren't, take stock of what they are, what's good about it, and how you can meet the moment with your own corporate planning and strategies.
I love that. And yeah, listening to it for, obviously in more detail, it really makes a lot of sense. And at Single Throw, we also do offer the unlimited vacation. But I feel like more and more companies are adapting this new mentality because, the world is changing and everybody's lives are changing. So we have to keep up with it in order to be successful. And I think it's wonderful that you guys have done all that. That sounds so great to have them be published and talk about these things. It's a great idea and a great opportunity because a lot of times people think lawyers, they will have to work 80 hours a week or they're not really a lawyer kind of thing. So
make no mistake, there are weeks where we still work 80 hours a week.
Right.
There's a saying, the law is a jealous mistress. and she will not tolerate, passing praise, but commands, lavish and frequent love. It's there. Make no mistake. In order to be a great lawyer, there are weeks you work 80 hours. It doesn't have to be every week and you don't have to do it chained to your desk and you don't have to be treated like a piece of shit to do it.
Yeah.
So that's, that's the reality.
Got it. Okay. All right. So in kind of like giving some advice, what do you think would be the top three business mistakes you could make when starting your own business? Because so many people are, trying to go out on their own and be their own boss, but they're not really sure how to go about it.
So I think the top three mistakes that I know that I've made and I'll just experience share. One is falling into the trap of permitting my greatest strengths to not realize what my greatest strength is also a weakness to me. Most personality traits and most mindsets serve us well 80% of the time. And we have to be aware the 20% of the time when it's not serving us well. So your average entrepreneur has a good sense of healthy narcissism. He or she believes they can control the world and they can, right? An entrepreneur creates commerce out of empty space. Yeah. And 80% of the time, what we think is right and we know what we're doing, and 20% of the time we don't. And so failing to listen to good counsel around us 20% of the time and realizing that we don't always know the answer, that's one business mistake that I've made, and I've tried to get better at that. Another business mistake that I've made is candidly not meeting the moment initially because I didn't want to be a bad guy. And so, when there's been downturns in the economy, you know, rather than immediately shedding workers that I needed to shed or immediately doing other things, I would hold on too long. And then what would happen is the company would be in such bad shape later on that what I thought I was doing in the short run didn't help in the long run. Right. So making very hard decisions sooner rather than later, whether that's to cut an employee, cut an expense, drop a project that you really love, but's not working. So make the hard decision as soon as you can.
Yeah.
And the final mistake that I think a lot of entrepreneurs make is not thinking about their exit. So many people start a business, but they don't think about 20 years from now when they're done, what's it going to look like? What's the last day of work going to look like?
Yeah.
Are you just going to pump the business for cash, turn off the lights and close the door? Well, that's okay. That's wonderful. That's a very different business than if you're going to scale it up and sell it to an outside entity, right? Because then you'll have different markers, different systems and processes. And so the third thing that I would really recommend people do when they start a business is sit down with a cup of coffee or a glass of wine and a notebook and write down, what does my last day at the company look like? What am I wearing? Who's the last person I say goodbye to? How does it end? Because that will help you then make decisions along the way. So those are my thoughts.
I don't even know what to say. Those are great thoughts. Those are things that, you know, people don't really ever think about. But I have not started my own business, so I don't know about that. But
not too late, Gina. I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to get in trouble, but it's not too late.
Not too late.
You know how to market. You're very good at digital marketing. You and your team are very good at digital marketing. So, oh, there goes my bad dog. I don't know what my bad chocolate lab.
What kind of dog do you have?
We have a chocolate lab. His name is Colton. Colton. Well, he's barking at somebody. Please forgive me. I don't know if that's going to interrupt the podcast or not. So for all you,
totally fine. I'm going to keep it in because we love dogs. We love dogs.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for sharing all of this information. This was really helpful and very insightful, especially coming from, you know, the whole mentality of how to adapt and change as the generations come through. Because we have like 5 or 6 generations working together right now. It's, you know, everybody's kind of have to understand where everybody's coming from, especially with technology being as advanced as it is now. And you were saying, like, you know, these kids, they've never had a world without technology, ever.
I think the older generation, our job is to share just enough history so that the younger generation is informed, not so much, however, that they feel stifled to share their insights. And so that's the tough needle to thread.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Gina. And if I could just say thank you to you for what you guys do. And it's important in the marketing industry to have good ethical people. And I know you guys do a lot of work even in the healthcare field, and that's very important today. So thank you what you guys are doing and all the work that you do to help your clients and help to create commerce for the rest of us.
Thanks so much, Terry. This podcast is sponsored by Single Throw Marketing, Google Premier Partner Digital Agency. If you're looking to stay ahead of your competitors and be relevant on Google, check us out at singlethrow.com. Thanks for listening to The Conversation. I'm your host, Gina Simeone. Catch us every other Wednesday and listening to these incredible stories from these incredible women. Follow us on Instagram at The Conversation, CONVHERSATION. And you can also visit our website at conversation.com. If you or someone you know is a badass woman looking to share her story, you can shoot us an email at talk@conversation.com. And don't forget, that's with an H-E-R. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.